The Purim story has quite a few ha'aris to make. So we'll talk a little bit in general about the Yom Tov of Purim, and we'll get into today's sugya. We find in last week's parasha, the Baal HaTurim quotes it. I think they say it's a Zohar also, I'm not sure. Baal HaTurim says the Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not found anywhere in the entire parasha's Tetzaveh. Baal HaTurim says it's because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, then cut me out of the Sefer Torah. So the question the Mepharshim deal with, was this a compliment or was this a punishment? Was this Moshe Rabbeinu's way of being punished for talking too harsh, perhaps, talking too big, and therefore he got what he asked for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you want it, here it is. Sometimes in life we do that, we talk a big game, and then when we get slammed down, we're a little surprised. Or was it a compliment? So I believe the answer is it's the greatest compliment in the entire world. Because to Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing is more valuable than his name being in the Torah. To Moshe Rabbeinu, that is value. Nothing else matters to him. So because Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a reflection of your dedication to your people, that's the greatest compliment Moshe Rabbeinu could get. So to Moshe Rabbeinu, being knocked out of the Torah expresses his selflessness that he has as a leader. And what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching all of us is that to be great, it's about being selflessness. It's about giving up of yourself. Great people are not people that continue their regular life and don't go out of their comfort zone for others. Moshe Rabbeinu was great because he was willing to give up what was the most precious thing to him. He was willing to give up for, not himself, not his family, but for other people. So Moshe Rabbeinu's omission from the entire of the parasha is teaching us how do you become great. The way a person becomes great is when he's mevatel himself completely to others. If you look at people that you know in your life that are great, who have accomplished great things, it's all because they were selflessness. They gave up. It's very hard, you know, they say about the Vilna Gaon, right? You want to learn, you want to sleep 12 hours at night, and you also want to learn 12 hours and become the Vilna Gaon. It's not going to happen. You got to give up somewhere. So if a person wants to be a great person, he wants to do great things, not just as a mandi, not just as a leader, but as a human being. You want to be a great person, you want to be a great spouse, you want to be a great parent, you want to be a great friend, you're going to have to give up. And you have to give up that is the most precious to you is what you have to give up. So Moshe Rabbeinu was acknowledging that. And it's a compliment to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, look at Moshe Rabbeinu, look what he gave up. His value system was so important to him, he gave that up. But then we find a similar idea in the Megillah. After you read the entire Megillah story, and you ask yourself, well, who's the hero of the Purim story? So obviously it's Mordechai, even though the Megillah is called Megillah Sester, which maybe one day we'll talk about that. Very rarely do you find a Jewish book with a girl's name on it. It's a big deal. And they don't even put them in the papers, the pictures of them, right? Now we got a whole book named after Esther. Very, very strange thing. Okay, maybe for a different time. But nonetheless, the hero by far is Mordechai. But how does the Megillah end? The last three words of the Megillah tells us, thank you, Ratzoi l'roi v'chof. He was liked by most of his brothers. So the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah that at the end of the whole story, Mordechai saves the whole Jewish people and he comes back to Yeshiva, he comes back to Sanhedrin, and they move his seat down. He lost ranking in where he started. So you think Moshe Rabbeinu would come back, he'd be honored, they throw a parade in his honor, they say, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, Mordechai, they say, you lost ranking all these days, you weren't learning anything. He wasn't learning, he was saving the world. What do you mean he wasn't learning? So that's what the Gemara said. So the question is again, why do you have to knock Mordechai for that? Maybe it's true, maybe whatever, you had to put it into the Megillah? Leave it out of the Megillah. Why are you going to compliment him and put it into the Megillah? Oh, by the way, Mordechai, you're a great guy, but you haven't been in Seder in 3 months, so therefore we're cutting your kail check, and we're making you sit in the back, but thank you for saving the rest of us. Very strange thing. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a very nice pshat on that pasuk. He says against the Gemara, he says like this, Mordechai is now the leader. Now ask anyone that ever has to lead a group, you'd rather have less people than more people. So he says to himself, okay, now if Klai Yisrael is going to continue to grow and we'll have more and more kids, it's more of a headache for me to be busy with. So Mordechai says, he says, no, let's have more. Let Klai Yisrael grow even more, even though I'll have to work harder. I'll have to be more involved, but I want, he wanted to have an addition of Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael should grow. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that he wanted, he got knocked down his level in the Sanhedrin. But it's the same pshat. To Mordechai, this is the greatest compliment. He closed the Gemara. You know how much it hurt him to close the Gemara? It killed him. But he cared more about Klal Yisrael. And it was wrong. The Gemara says that Talmud Torah is more important. But Lamaisa to Mordechai, he cared more about the Jewish people. So the Megillah is telling us the greatest compliment to Mordechai is that when he closed that Gemara, he knew what he was doing. He knew closing that Gemara was a big deal for him. That was his greatest pleasure was to learn. You think he wanted to? Today we have people who can't wait to close the Gemara. They're always looking for an excuse to be busy with something. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to learn. But he said to himself, I got to give up. His giving up for Klal Yisrael was him closing the Gemara. That was his selflessness. And that same thing as Moshe Rabbeinu. They both gave up of what was dear to them. So it's not a it's not an insult. It's actually the greatest compliment that he could be told was, you took that hit and you moved down ranking and you closed the Gemara and you didn't learn for whatever it was. That's because he cared that much about Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, in the Megillah, the Pasuk says that when Achashverosh decided to kill all the Jewish people, it says he wanted to kill them, and he also wanted to take their money. V'avizah shalchu es yadam. Which we've known throughout history, whenever our enemies kill us, look at the Holocaust, they don't just kill us physically, they take all our money. They take the teeth and the hair and the shoes, we all know the pictures and stories, they take everything. Yet when we win the story, Megillah tells us, "Uvavizal loy shalchu es yadav." We were told explicitly, "Don't touch any money," even though we went to war, and there's always money in war. Someone loses, but the pasuk says, "No, don't touch a dime. Leave it alone." Why? Why can't we have? Why don't we deserve our fair kickback like everyone else? So there's a kliyaka. The kliyaka writes the chumash, because at that time Klal Yisrael had a little bit of a problem with too much taivas hamamon, as we still do today. We have this desire innate for a lot of money. And the Megillah is reminding us, don't touch the money. Stay away from the money. It's not a good idea. It never does well. That was the whole Chet Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to give them all this money, it's going to end up in a bad place. But I was thinking perhaps we could say slightly different. The whole story of Purim, and this we've spoken about in the past, the whole story of Purim is a lesson for all of us in what does it mean to be alive. It's an appreciation of life. We were all about to be killed. We were all marching through the gas chambers, literally. And we were all saved at the last moment. It's an unbelievable reflection of the appreciation of life. And that's why we made a new Kabbalah Satira right after Purim. Because when you're gifted life again, you realize what life is all about. And that's why Mordechai tells them, don't touch the money. Because now that we have a newfound respect for life, a new value for life, don't waste your time with the money. That's what's going to make you happy. You were just given the gift of life. You were supposed to die, all of us. We were all supposed to be annihilated. And one day we're told, no, you're going to survive. So now you're going to run after money. Doesn't make any sense. So the Megillah is teaching us that the whole life, and that's what we celebrate really every year. Every year, Purim time, we appreciate what does it mean to be alive. Because Chanukah, it wasn't about death and life. Chanukah is about religion. This was the only holiday where it was mamish a Holocaust. And it was a Holocaust for being Jewish, which is something we sadly have seen throughout the years and continue to see people being killed just because they're Jewish. And when a person's gifted life, it forces him to take some form of a step back and ask himself, what am I living for? What is life all about? So the first thing Klai Yisrael did was they made a new Kabbalah Satayra. They said to themselves, it's about Torah. Life is not just about fun and games. That's not what life is about. And then they realized, you know, life is also not about pursuing the dollar. That's not what's going to make us happy either. And therefore, don't touch the money. Stay away. So what is life about? Life about is the whole day of Purim. The whole mitzvah sayim of Purim is about giving to others. I find it so sadly ironic that all this quarantining that's happening now because of the viruses, which obviously is medically a good idea, but it's mamish the antithesis of the spirit of Purim. Purim is all about achdus, vireyas, camaraderie, friendship. We mentioned in the halacha shir that there's a shitas ha-poiskim that you might not even be able to be yoitza sudas Purim that you eat by yourself. Such a shita like that in the poiskim. Okay, halacha ma'aseh, we probably don't pass like that. But the idea of Purim is all about being together. It's all about achva, vireyas, being together, enjoying with others, and it's a shame that we can't. And I'm not sure what the message is, and I'll leave that for everyone to decide, or everyone to write their blogs about, what exactly the message Kosh Baruch Hu is telling us, where he tells us, I don't want you to be together in Purim, I want you to be secluded, but it's the exact antithesis of the Mahosa, the Yom Tov. The entire Mahosa Yom Tov is being together. It's about Jews coming together, giving, sharing, spending time together, enjoying together, being together, from all walks of life. And here we're forced to be separated. Which maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us some form of a message of how we interact with each other. I'm not sure. But the Mahosa Yom Tov, by far, the makeup of the day of Purim, and the days leading up to it, is about this idea, about appreciating life. And appreciating life is not staying by yourself. Appreciating life is giving to others, giving back, helping, sharing, giving. And therefore, it is a shame that we're unable to share Purim the way it's supposed to. But that should be the mentality that we have throughout these days, that we should look at Purim as a gift of life. What does it mean to be alive? How lucky are we? You know, Kosh Baruch Hu gives us another day, gives us another year. What do we do with it? Now, we only think about these things like, you know, Rosh Hashanah time, Yom Kippur time. Purim time is a good time to think about it also. What does it mean to have another year? How did I grow from last year to this year? Am I the same person? Am I the exact same spiritual level? Am I the exact same giving level? Someone was just telling me from a Chassidish Rebbe. He pointed out that everyone gives chai when they get an aliyah. He said, you know, there's inflation. You got to change your mindset with money also. You know, chai was very nice then, but chai doesn't get you so far. Every once in a while, we have to just re-examine everything. But I think the story of Purim reminds us that we're really re-examining our physical life. What does it mean to be alive? How lucky are we? What do we appreciate? What do we value? Where do we show our own personal chashivas for the things that matter the most? I think that's an important part of the Yom Tov of Purim. But there's also an interesting element of Purim which I never noticed. I heard this from Rabbi Radinsky. He pointed this out. I think it's a fantastic observation. If you think about Purim throughout the story, there's one theme that is often overlooked about Purim, and that's Hakaras HaTov. If you think about it, the whole story came about through and connected to Hakaras HaTov. How do you figure? Because right in the beginning, right after Achashverosh realized that he killed his wife, he had terrible regret. Why did he have such regret? Because he only got there because of her. Machlokes in the Gemara if Achashverosh was born into a royal family or he married into a royal family. So the Malbim assumes that that's the way it happened, that he married into a royal family. And therefore, if he married into a royal family, his whole status was only due to her. So if his whole status was only due to her and he killed her, he felt very bad over that. Because that's not so nice. If she got you where you are and then you killed her, so he felt a certain sense of Akar Satov that that was wrong. Secondly, we find later on, why did Esther tell Mordechai to say it over b'shem? Why did Esther say b'shem Mordechai? Because that's Vayter Hakaras HaTov. Why did Achashverosh reward Mordechai? Vayter, because Hakaras HaTov. So an underlining theme, it's an important message, that's Hakaras HaTov. Appreciate that is done for you. And that's also what Purim is all about. It's about the expression, the realization of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, what we can then do in return for Him, and how we can then give back. Because everyone has what to give back. Whatever we have in life, we can share with others. Whatever we have, we can give back. So the Megillah is reminding us that Purim of the time is to reflect and appreciate what you have, be thankful for the greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in your life, and be able to pass it along to others. Okay, today's shir should be dedicated to Refuah Shleimah for Peril Yenta Bas Brinda, as well as Chai Rochem Chama Bas Elta Hodi Zissel, and Le'ilu Nishmas Elka Bas Moshe, whose yahrzeit is this upcoming Shushan Purim, this upcoming Wednesday. Mitzvah, all the learning that we do here should be a schus for her neshama, along with the great work that her son does and his family and amazing things in the community. I got to know David over the last couple of years. It's unbelievable the amount of great things he's involved in. I hear stories about his father back in Florida in the good old years when the Rabbanim used to come down when it wasn't so popular to go to Florida and there weren't so many homes you can go to in Florida, and the great work that his mother and his father did in Mirtz Hashem, all the learning and all the great work that he does and his family does should be a schus for her neshama. Amen. I'd like to acknowledge that my father is here this morning. He came to visit us for the Sunday morning shir. And it's really his fault that we're giving the shir, because he called me a few days ago and he told me he was learning Megillah Daf Hei and he's bothered with a Rashi. And I honestly didn't know the Rashi. He knows Megillah Daf Hei. I don't know Megillah Daf Hei. So as most of our phone calls go, it's usually about something regarding learning. So he pointed out to me some interesting ha'aras. I said, yeah, it sounds like a good sugya. Let's learn the sugya Sunday morning. So we're going to learn the sugya this morning, the sugya of Megillah Shalei Bezmani Ba'asara. What happens when you have Megillah Shalei Bezmani Ba'asara? And the truth is, believe it or not, it does connect a little bit to what's going on today with people having to be alone and not being able to join a minyan. A little bit, we're not going to get into the halacha l'maisa, I'll leave that for everyone else. But there's a lot of alumnus that will come out of the sugi to appreciate what does it mean to hear the Megillah and what does it mean to hear the Megillah Betziva. So there's a Gemara Megillah Daf Hei. A shtick, a little Gemara, often goes overlooked. The Gemara goes like this. Zakti Gemara, Amar Rav. Megillah Bizmanoi Karin Oisa Afilu B'yochin. When the Megillah is read bizmano, in its proper time, whenever that is, then the Megillah can be read afilu b'yoch. You don't need a minyan for Megillah. Megillah is a very confusing thing, as we'll see. Rabbi Salvation discusses this, others also. What exactly is the tzura of the kriyas of Megillah? Obviously, we know, we've spoken in the past in other shurim, that the Megillah reading may be a din derabbanan, maybe a din deraisa, depending if it's at night, depending if it's during the day, a whole gansa discussion. But its structure, what's its structure look like? Is it like Kriyas HaTorah? Kriyas HaTorah, we know, is a Davish of Magdusha, and you always need, you can never lane from the Torah, Pachas Miyud, even though all those people that laned, even those people that had a Parsha Zohar reading yesterday, which for the record, everyone should know, is not really Minakla Yisrael, okay? I know it's very controversial. I tell us the people, the imams look at me like I'm a reform, conservative, minister, priest, whatever you want to call it. Women are not really Mechoyiv in Parsha Zohar. This whole idea that we have a second reading for women is a very much an American concept. It does not exist in Eretz Yisrael. It did not exist in Europe. This was an American chiddush for the women. But the Pesukim all discuss, if you're going to have a reading for the women, you have to have a minyan. You can't have Kriyas HaTorah with a thank you without less than 10 people. So we know Kriyas HaTorah is always with 10 people. What about Megillah? Now Megillah is a chayvus yachid. Kriyas HaTorah, we've spoken about the Chakira from the Achronim, is it a Chavetz Yochid, is it a Chavetz Zibur? Nafkiminos, let's say, for example, you don't have a minyan nearby, you're away. Are you required to travel to go join a minyan? Things like that. But what's Megillah? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. According to Rav, if you read it Bizmano, then you can read it by yourself. But if it's Shaloi Bizmano, if you read it not at the right time, Vasara, then you need a minyan. Strange thing. Meaning it changes depending on what time of the year you're going to read it. So question number one is, what's Zmane and what's Shalei B'Zmane? And question number two is, what difference does it make? If it's a Chiv, then it's a Chiv. If it's not a Chiv, meaning if Megillah is a Chiv is Yachid, like Shofar. Shofar is a Chiv is Yachid. You can blow the Shofar by yourself, no matter when you blow Shofar. So why by Megillah does it depend when you're going to read the Megillah? And what does it mean to be Bizmano or Shalei B'Zmane? What does it mean in the right time and the wrong time? So we know Megillah is unique that there are open days for when you can do it. Shofar is only 2 days you can blow the Shofar. The first day of Rosh Hashanah and the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Megillah, there's other options of when to read the Megillah. Rav Asi Amar, the second sheet of the Gemara is Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, Bein Bizmano, Bein Shalei B'Zmane. No matter when you read the Megillah, whether you read it Bizmano or Shalei B'Zmane, Ba'asara, it always needs a minute. So Rashi points out over here, what does it mean Bizmano? It's a Rashi, B'Yudalad. What's considered the time to read the Megillah? That's Yadal. That's when we read the Megillah. We, in America, read the Megillah on Yadalad. So, Grashi, what's special about Yadalad? Because on that day, it's obligatory. I'll call Yochid, the Yochid, on every individual. Kairin, I say they read it. Then, Afilu be Yochid. Da'kol Kairin ba, everyone's reading it. Ve'ikah piersom nes. So Rashi seems to be alluding to the fact that it's about the numbers. How many people are actively reading the Megillah? So on Yadalit, everyone is reading the Megillah. Well, not everyone, because in Eretz Yisrael and Shushan, they're not reading the Megillah on Yadalit. But everyone here in America, everyone in Bovel, everyone in France was reading the Megillah on Yadalit, which is what we do. So Dr. Rashi, since everyone reads it, that itself is a Pesumenis. So there's no need for 10 people. So it seems like from Rashi that the role of the Minyan was to create Pesumenisa. But if everyone is doing it, then that itself creates the Pesumenis. That would be the Chayra, the Pashat, the Pshat, and Rashi. Now it's interesting that Rashi picked Yudalad. Rashi at the same price could have picked Tezvav. Depends where you live. Right? If you live in Eretz Yisrael, so Yudalad is not the Zmanoi, Tezvav. Rashi's very, you know, self-interested over here. He's talking about where he lives. Yes.
Yeah, it's only Yushan, it's only Ariatoma.
But again, is that...
In Eretz Yisrael, the Rove is doing Yudalad.
Again, but for all the people that are doing Tezvav, they're all doing Tezvav. Rashi sounds like the point is what everyone is doing. So you're saying, yeah, well, you look at the whole global world. Do you look at it as the global world, or do you look at it as your community? Every one of those communities are reading Tezvav. We'll have to talk about that in Rashi. But the Achronim make this diak in Rashi. We'll see the Maratzchias and others that are oimid on this Rashi. Why Rashi focused on Yadal? So I think the answer is Pashat. Rashi focused on Yadal because that's where Rashi lived. In his world, Yadal, it was part. Okay, what's Shaloi Bizmane? This is what we need to get to today. What's Shaloi Bizmane? So according to Rashi, Bizmane is when you read the Megillah on your proper day. You Dalit in America, Tezvav in Yerushalayim. So what's Shaloi Bizmane? When else are you reading the Megillah? So Rashi, you're going Kforim HaMakdim Eliyei Maknis. If you learn the beginning of Megillah, you know there was such a concept that certain villages were allotted permission to read the Megillah earlier. They'd be able to read the Megillah on the Monday, Thursday preceding the Purim. So Dr. Rashi, that's Shaloi Bizmane. So if you're going to read the Megillah earlier on any of the earlier days, then that needs a minyan. Why? Then you need persuminis. So Rashi seems to be learning that the only scenario where you're ever going to read the Megillah in a situation where a minyan will be required is if you're not reading it by Yadalit. Why would I not read it by Yadalit? Because I live in a kfar, I live in a village, and I have the right to go a couple days earlier. So I'll go a couple days earlier and I'll read the Megillah before Purim. And that makes sense, right? Because there's only a very small group of people reading the Megillah. Who's reading the Megillah? Except for the 20 people who live in my village. The rest of the big cities, they're not reading the Megillah. So I need Persumenis. So 10 people create Persumenis. That's the Chayra, the Rashi, the Gemara.
Where does that come from?
Oh, okay, good. That's what we got to figure out. Ah, so that's what we got to figure out. What is Persumenis? And we have other things that are Persumenis. Chanukah, right? We know Chanukah is Persumenis. Sometimes things are Persumenis. They don't always have to be done with a minion. Dalkois is a Persumenis. We spoke about this many times. Dalkois is a Persumenis. You don't need a minion at your Seder. Some people have it. What? Everyone's doing it. So they might be like Rashi. Good.
What's he talking about in one of these small villages? That the person, there's a minion because there's 20 people from the village doing it, and then he decides to go into his own house and do it by himself? Or there's only 4 people in the village and they don't have a minion, so they have to read it, and that's...
We're talking about you have a small village, and the whole village goes Leoi Maknisa.
I understand, but is that so there's less than a minion in that village? Is that what he's
saying? No, he's just saying whoever in this village is going to read it on that day that they go to town, they need to gather a minion. They can't read without a minyan. They need ten. That's what it means.
Says once you establish that this produce nisa makes sense, what Rashi's saying, that it makes a difference whether it's that day or not.
Yeah, because, yes, yes.
Because the simple reason is because if it's not that day, meaning it's not your dalet, so therefore you have to show presume nisa. If it's on your dalet, everyone sees people doing
mishnah. Good. Now we're getting lumnish. Okay, now we're going to see there's other ways to express presume nisa.
This is Sunday morning, sure.
I think so. And I came back from Baltimore last night at 2 in the morning, so I think it's Sunday morning. I'm not sure for sure. I was zeichet to watch when they switched the clocks over. It's very depressing, I must tell you. I'm staring at my phone. I'm watching my phone. I see 1:59, then I see 3 o'clock. I said, this is not good. This is not a good thing. But I think it's Sunday morning. I think it's Sunday morning. But in any case, we'll see. The Rishonim have this Knesh with Tachreinim to Rehavid. It's going to talk about how else can you express Pesuminis besides for just gathering 9 other people in a room? And what needs even more Hezber, why does that even create Pesuminis? What does that do for me? Because there's more people in the room. That makes it what? How does that change the Megillah reading? What does that do? How does that make it a different experience? So we'll get to that in a second.
It used to exist on both days.
We'll have to get to that also. Good. It might be that... That's a fundamental question. Are both days really Purim? Or is one day really Purim?
And that's why Rashi said these
up. Good. Wow, Gavaldik. The lack of 1 hour worked well for everyone else here. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Okay, Belinad, all of these are things that we're going to have to get to hopefully in a few minutes. But let's just see the Gemara Vayter. And it's important, the Gemara Vayter. The Gemara tells us, so again, how did Rav learn Shalei B'Zmanoi? That's really today's share is going to focus on how Rav learned Shalei B'Zmanoi and Pshat and Ravasi. Now, we paskin like Rav. Halach L'maisa, we paskin like Rav. So it's going to be relevant to understand Rav. But according to Rav, so Shalei B'Zmanoi means the Kfar Ma'akdim Eli Maknis. So the Gemara goes Vayter. So the Gemara tells us, Havi Uvda, there was a story of Choshlei Rav L'Hod Ravasi. There was a story once where Rav was Choshish for Ravasi Shita. He decided to be Machmer, even though he personally held that if it's Bizmano, you don't need 10. But he was Machmer for Ravasi. In fact, the Gemara, Mi Amar Rav Hochi, that cannot be so. Amar Rav Yehuda, Braid of Shmuel. Bar Shilos Mishmei Rav. Purim Shecholius B'Shabbos. If Purim falls out on Shabbos, so Erev Shabbos Manam. So then Erev Shabbos becomes the time for Purim. In fact, the Gemara, Erev Shabbos Manam. Vah Shabbos Manam. Well, it's not true. Erev Shabbos is not the time. Shabbos is really Purim. Elalav hachikam. This is what the Gemara means. Shaloi bismanam kizmanam. The way it is that you treat a shaloi bismanam like you would a regular zman. Mazmanam afilu biyochid. Just like a regular Megillah bisman. No, according to Rav, you're allowed to read it biyochid. Af shaloi bismanam afilu biyochid. So even a shaloi bismanam, even again, when Purim is Shabbos and you're reading it earlier, it's not technically the real Zman. It's not really the Yudalat Hezvav. But you make believe it is. You make believe it's Zmanam. And what does that mean? It means you could read it even by yourself. So what do you see?
Well, why would you learn it earlier, not later, like on a fast day?
Because the Gemara says we always go earlier. We always read the Megillah before. That's the Gemara says. By fast days, the Gemara says, Akdume Purani is loy miktaminan. We don't bring up earlier. We always push away. But good things we like to bring home earlier. So the Gemara says what? That when Purim falls out on Shabbos and you read the Megillah before the Shabbos, that's called Shalei Bizmanam. This is going to be very important for us. That's called Shalei Bizmanam. So the Gemara says, Loi, you make a Megillah Basara. Doesn't it mean with regard to Megillah? The Gemara says, no, Elamai Erev Shabbos Manam Lafukim Midi Rebbe. No. It doesn't mean that when you read the Megillah on Friday or Thursday, instead of on Shabbos, you don't need a minion. It means something else. What does it mean? To don't follow Rebbe. The Amma who said, he holds those cities that once they're not reading it on the proper day, so then they go, they don't read it on Friday, they go to Thursday. They must know. The Chiddush is that you read it on Friday, but that Friday it's called Shalei Bizmanam. And you talk after read it. That's the end of the Gemara. So Rashi writes over here in Rabbi Asi Shita. So Rashi, what's Rabbi Asi hold? Mitzvah lachzer achar asara. There's a mitzvah to go after 10. How did you learn Rabasi initially? Rav says if it's ba'asara, if it's bizmana, you don't need 10. Shalai bizmana, you need 10. Comes along Rabasi, and Rabasi says whether bizmana, whether not shalai bizmana, you need 10. Does that mean you need 10 la'akiv or 10 lechatchila? How seriously does Rabasi take this idea of minyan? So Rashi says mitzvah lachzer achar asara. It's not a chiv. It's a mitzvah. It's nice. Mishum pasu minisa. Avli loy ashkach asara, if you can't find 10. Loi Amar Ravasi the Likri. He never said don't read the Megillah. Shein Issa Yachad Ela Mitzvah Likroi Sebasa. So if there's time, I'd like to get to on the last paper. We'll talk about Ravasi Sheet as well. What's the Svar of Ravasi? He holds you don't need 10, but it's better to have 10. Well, what's that about? If you hold you need 10, you need 10. You don't need 10. Like, what's this middle Madruega where it's nice to have 10, but it's not mandatory to have 10?
Get there,
we'll have to see. And what's a svar?
Because the ten is for persumes.
Right. So then either you need it or you don't need it. What's this like? So try to get it. Like it's
so
a funny.
So persumes is that ma'akev on the mitzvah?
That's the question. How far did Rav Asi?
You light your Hanukkah candles in your basement where, with no windows and nobody sees it.
And you're not there. Pashtus, you're not.
Well, you have to be there because you have to light them.
Right. Right. So let's
you're
say
you're the only person.
So that's a machlokes achrayim. The Sharetzion quotes from the Chemin Moshe. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it. That's a big discussion if you yotze, because persumes by definition means others have to see it. So the question over here is, by Megillah has really two components to it. It has the mitzvah sakriya, which also creates a maisa pirsum. Now you can argue, it's mefarsim the nes to me.
Just like Hanukkah, you could do
just it. Just like Hanukkah. The question is that far enough? But what's interesting about Rav Asi is he holds l'chatchila try to get 10, but it's not ma'ak.
Is this connected also to
the doesn't sound like it.
I did it.
Maybe, depending on how we learn, go back to that first Rashi, when everyone's doing something. So then maybe if you're doing it at the same time, there might be a mila. Maybe. That might work out. So what's the problem that all the Rishonim have with Rashi? Rashi learned Bizmani means, Shaloi Bizmani means when the Kfarim, the little villages, start reading it the Thursday or the Monday before. Frecht all the Rishonim, the Ran, the Ritva, the Rajba. By the time Rav and Rav Asi lived, they were Amoraim. The Gemara writes in Daf Beis, we already abolished this halacha. We stopped doing this Kfar Maktim Le Maknisa thing. That's old news. It no longer became popular. We stopped doing it. We said everyone's got to read the Megillah, either Yudal or Tezvav. No more of this Kfar Maktim. The Gemara says because the Anim used to get very excited. They heard Megillah's coming. So for them, Megillah's coming means it's Purim. They're going to start collecting their money. Then someone said, no, we're just reading the Megillah. We're not getting to Purim for 3 days. So they stopped it. They nixed the whole thing. So Frek, all the Rishonim. So how can Rashi learn that that's Pshat in the Gemara? By the time Rab and Rav Asi came to town, they were Amoraim. So by the time they came on the scene, this is already an obsolete halacha. So how could Rashi learn in Rav and Rav Asi that they're learning Pshat in the Gemara that we're talking about the villages? Those villages are long gone. That halacha is not in the Geya. Why would Rashi learn a Pshat in the Gemara in a world that doesn't exist anymore? That's the kash that came out all the Rishonim across the board ask. If you look at number 3, the Ritva lays it out for us very clearly. He writes, Pirish Rashi, Tehani Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Dibnik Farm. That's Shulab Ismani according to Rashi. Those villages, the villagers that have the right to read the Megillah, starting already from the 11th, 11th was yesterday, starting from the 11th. V'teima frektayis frekt Ritva. The Habotel, Hakdamas Kfarim, we already stopped that. The Kaimelon Kerabonon, Daminon, we learn like the Rabbonon, Ein Kerin, I say, Elab Ismani. So why would they have a whole machlokes only according to one opinion that holds we still keep the minhag of the villagers? We pass on like the Rabbanan that the villagers no longer have the right to pre-read the Megillah. So therefore, frek the Ritva, so why would Rashi pick up Shana and a Gemara to have a machlokes Amoraim in a scenario that is no longer applicable? So the Ritva answers, V'yishloimah de'ikah plukto didu hainu mishu Megillah bezmane. Ubahu depligi. Says the Ritva, you have to read the Gemara differently. Shaloi Bizmani is not really what they're arguing about. Because Shaloi Bizmani, according to Rashi, is irrelevant Bizmani. Their Ikka Machloik is Bizmani. Because again, they argue on two fronts. They argue about Shaloi Bizmani and they argue about Bizman. So says the Ritva, for the case of Bizmani is really where they're arguing. Rav holds Bizmani doesn't need a minion. Rav Asi says Bizmani needs a minion. What about Shaloi Bizmani? Whatever Shaloi Bizmani meant, it was really just extra credit. It was really just academic. It wasn't halacha lemais, which is very, very shver. It's very hard to believe that they mention two things and only really discussing one. Very hard. Then the Ritva gives a second teretz, which is the way Rav Rishonim learned the Gemara. Rav Rishonim, I'd say all the Rishonim except for Rashi. V'idach, another pshat. V'idach nak le'agav kreira. V'acherim pirsh. This is the other pshat. And this is the more widely accepted pshat in the Rishonim. T'hai shalei bezmane hanukish shechal yudal v'tezvav b'shabbos.
He's not answering his kashrut.
No, that's right.
He's answering Rashi.
He's not really. He's trying to. He's trying to tell you that when Rashi wrote Shulei Bizmani, he didn't really focus too much on it because to him that was really just a side point of the Gemara. The Ikka point of the Gemara was Bizmani. So once
the second
teretz is a whole new pshat in the Gemara, right? The second teretz is right. The second teretz is a whole new way to learn the Gemara. What does it mean Shulei Bizmani is up to Ritva? V'hainu, this is l'chayra the more pashut the pshat kishachal yudal reitezvav b'shabbos. What happens when Purim falls out on Shabbos? Either for Yudal or for Tezvav. Let's keep this in mind, the Loshainus and the Rishainim. The Ritva writes, either Yudal falls out on Shabbos, or Tezvav falls out on Shabbos. You'll see why later I'm making this distinction. Hayinu kishachol Yudal oy Tezvav b'Shabbos, shakrochim oy hayi oras makdim liya meknisa oly erev Shabbos. In that case, everyone's being pushed off a day. No one's reading it b'Shabbos. We know Gzeirah de Rabba, Davdala, the Gemara tells us. Yeah, what's wrong, Michael?
Why
I don't remember Purim ever coming out on Yudal and Shabbos.
That's right. It doesn't.
Right. So what's
because in the times of the Gemara it did.
Yeah. What?
The times of the Gemara it did.
You mean it was the times of the Gemara they switched it?
Yeah, they set up the calendar. Hillel set up the calendar. Again, for
okay, because I never remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Zokti Mitzva, the simple case of Shalev is Mame is when Purim falls out on Shabbos. So if your Dalit falls out on Shabbos, you're not laying it on your Dalit. You're going to lay it either on Thursday or Friday. Or if Shushan Purim, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Tezva falls out on Shabbos, and you're pushing up a day, that's Shalev is Mame. Now, doesn't that seem like such a more simple pshat? Rashi got himself twisted into a pretzel to learn we're talking about the Kfarim, and then we have a Kasha with Kfarim, it's not a gay anymore. So the obvious Kasha is, why didn't Rashi learn this? That's such a beautiful pshat. And this is the pshat all the Rishonim go with. The Rush goes like this, the Rajba goes like this, the Ritva goes like this. The Ran goes like this. Zok the Ran in number 4. Yesha pirshu kisha makdim alei makniso. V'loi nihira. Dab mei rav and ravasi krab botla hak domas haknisa. They stopped this already in the times of rav and ravasi. Again, they still had Purim on Shabbos in the times of rav and ravasi. But they didn't have Purim, they didn't with the villages. Elish le bezmane hanu kishachol yoyim yidal ebnei yaros b'shabbos ay tezvav ebnei krochen shemakdim alei karim b'erev Shabbos. So he said the same shah as Ritva. But look at the last three words. V'hochi mochach b'gemar. Where's the mochach in the Gemara? The Gemara we just read in the beginning, the end of number 1. What did the Gemara tell us? The Gemara had a kasha. The Gemara said, how could Rav follow Ravasi and hold that Megillah needs to be read bismanoi, even with a minion? We had a story where Purim fell out on Shabbos, and they read the Megillah earlier, and at that the Gemara called the Sholei bismanoi. So says the Ran, you see from the Gemara Mefurish, that when you read Megillah on a different day, when it falls out on Shabbos, that's called Sholei bismanoi. So it's a Mefurish Gemara, says the Ran, which really makes Rashi even more shver. Not only is Rashi shver for twisting himself and forcing himself into a corner to learn a pshat that's not true historically, but why didn't he just look at the Gemara? You read the Gemara, you see clearly that when you read the Megillah on a different day because of Shabbos, the Gemara calls that Shalai Bezmanai. Says the Ran, V'hachi muchach b'Gemara. It's a Mefurish Gemara. So why didn't Rashi learn like all these other Rishayim? That's the Chayra. It's really two kashas. Why didn't Rashi learn like all the other Rishayim? And secondly, why didn't Rashi learn like the simple reading of the Gemara? The Gemara seems to imply that when you read the Megillah on Friday, when Shabbos, when Purim is Shabbos, that's called Shalai Bezman. The Achrayim try to give other pshatim for Rashi. Before we get back to Rashi, there are those who want to answer for Rashi that Rashi's din is still true. Even though today we don't have the din of villages, we have a different din. What's that din? Look at number 5 in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, "Hamefarish beyam vayotzi b'shiroi." Even bizman hazeh, it's still shaykh that you can read the Megillah shalei bizman. How? The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is if a person goes on a trip, takes a cruise. Today, be careful where you're going on your cruises. They might not let you ever off the boat. But if you go on a cruise, the einay mitzi Megillah lahalichimai. Let's say you're leaving before Purim, going on a cruise. And you're not going to be able to read the Megillah Bezmana. So what do you do? So Shulchan Aruch says, you can read already starting from the 11th. How many shuls don't say Tachanun anymore? They stop saying Tachanun. They don't say Tachanun today, tomorrow. Why? Because since you could technically read the Megillah starting from Yer Aleph, it's a little bit of a catch. Doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch this, but okay. Many shuls have such a custom. Many shuls have a custom. They stop saying Tachanun already from Yer Aleph. Why? Because since you can already start reading the first Mishnah Megillah says you can already read the Megillah. I'm sure the young Yisrael doesn't have this minute. That's not true. I would be shocked. But Zainab, they say Tachanun?
No.
They say
Tachanun. Okay, just making sure. I was in a certain young Israel, not here, in a different neighborhood, where they made an announcement that they don't say Tachem and Zainad. I thought I'd have to call the National Council and report them. As a chutzpah, not to say Tachem and Zainad. Which Litvish Shul doesn't say Tachem and Zainad. Very strange. The Chassidish Shlibach don't say Tachem and Zainad. So many of the Chassidish Shlibach. No. Yeshivas?
Shar Torah said it on Zainad?
We'd say Tachron on Purim if we're allowed to. The real Lutzvish should place say Tachron every day, right? Except for Tishabov, that Kimaisha writes. People used to say Tachron every day except for Tishabov. Yeah, the real Lutzvish should places only say the days that says in Shulchan Aruch. Yudal Tezvav, it says in Shulchan Aruch. Purim Katan, it says in Shulchan Aruch. The days. Doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. If it did, maybe we would. In any case, so many places have a minute, they don't say Tachron already starting from Yer Aleph. Why? Because Allah is, if you, the earliest time you can read the Megillah is already from Yer Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you're going to go away, let's say Allah Almighty, let's say a person knows he's going to go into quarantine. He's not going to be able to read a Megillah, whatever the case is, even though I saw one of the emails suggest wrapping it in some form of a wrap, and this way it doesn't get contagious, the Megillah paper. Someone sent me one of these emails. If you have to read the Megillah for someone who's quarantined, so what do you do with the Megillah? It's going to carry the viruses. So you wrap it in saran wrap. It does not affect the kashrus.
Why go into the house to begin with?
The person needs to hear the Megillah. No, maybe he wants to read the Megillah. I get so many emails, I don't know why.
So they
want to tell you that it's wrap it. It is Matami Yadayim. So I guess they say you wrap it in saran wrap, and then this way it doesn't... They said you're allowed to read it through saran wrap. It doesn't change the tzura, which makes sense. I think that makes sense. And then you throw it out afterwards. And someone was telling me... I was reading this somewhere. I don't know.
Quarantine it for 2 weeks afterwards. What's a big deal?
Well, the Megillah, you mean? That's the other option. That was a famous shayla that Achronim talked about. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. One of the earliest tshuvas where they used to... Someone was in one of these hospitals that anything that comes into the hospital has to be burnt. So he says, what does the guy do with tefillin? You got to bring the tefillin in, he's going to wear tefillin, then you're going to have to burn the tefillin afterwards. So this, if I remember correctly, this was a big machlokes between Rav Moshe, and I think the Sri Yesh has a tshuva about this. What do you do? I forgot which way, but that's the same shiloh. Are you allowed to put something in a matzev knowing that step number two will cause it to be destroyed? He said, no, don't wear tefillin for 3 days, or don't read the Megillah, whatever the case may be. So let's say a person knows he's not going to be able to read the Megillah, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, he reads the Megillah starting from Yeral, b'loy bracha. You can even read starting from the beginning of Chodesh Adar. Now, what does that have to do with us?
So that's
the Rashi. Sanctum Magen Avraham. But if you're going to read the Megillah today because you're going away for 2 weeks and you're not going to be anywhere, then you got to read the Megillah, but you need a minyan. What do you need a minyan for? Why do you need a kibbutz asara? Sanctum Magen Avraham. This Shalei Bezmanai being an asara. Because this is an expression of Shalei Bezmanai. So you could have Shalei Bezmanai even Bezmanai Zeh. Now, that still wasn't what Rashi said.
So you said we had like Rashi.
Right, Shalei Bezmanai needs a minyan.
Okay,
this is not exactly the words of Rashi. This is the concept of Rashi. Now, if Rashi would have wrote that, the Rishonim wouldn't have had a kasha. But this is the same idea. This is the same idea of a villager. Instead of them being villagers in Yom HaKnisa, they're travelers on going away. So at least the idea is still true. Bezman is that the Meiri Taka learns that this is the case of the Gemara.
The reason we need minyan is because
that's the words. That's what we have to get to. We first got to figure out the case, and then we'll try to figure out how to fit the lumbus into it.
And even they're not saying a bracha.
B'loy bracha and b'loy bracha, right? Which is still a big discussion. What the role of the bracha? We're going to get to hopefully the last Ma'amar of 26 is a very important taste. Right. We're going to try.
It's only 8:50.
That's right, but we have an extra hour.
As a practical matter, it's going to be very hard for you. Morning, if it's a krachim, so at least if you have other villagers who are part of your in your
group right.
together. If you're by yourself, you're traveling, how are you going to get 10 people together?
It's going to practically be very difficult. Unless you're going on a cruise together. The whole cruise is going, so they're all going to be before. So again, it's still Shaykh Rashi's din with a little bit of a change in the way Rashi said. But the big problem still is what do you do for Rashi? So if you look at the Pnei Yeshua over here, the Pnei Yeshua has an interesting ha'ara. The Bnei Yeshua writes in number 7, he quotes Rashi, and he wants to say, Val Korchach, line number 2, number 7, the Lav Davka Kfarim Kama. Zok, the Bnei Yeshua, don't learn Rashi, that Rashi meant that's the only case of Shalei Bezmanai. Why do I mean a besamach that have the uvda v'choshlei Rav l'hadir v'asi? Because the Gemara tells us that Rav was choshesh v'asi, v'isakadai duch da kfarim davka kama, my makshin besamach mi purim shechalias b'shabbos. In fact, the Bnei Yeshua, 1 second. Rashi learned Shalei Bezmanai means that it's a day when a village is reading it earlier, but the rest of Klal Yisrael is not reading it yet. So the Gemara had a kasha that Purim Shechalias B'Shabbos, and you read the Megillah a day earlier, that's called Shalei Bezmanai. Effective Pnei Yeshua, that's not Shalei Bezmanai. The whole Klal Yisrael is doing it. According to Rashi, what was the whole Gedra Advarim? How many people are doing it? So in a case where it's Purim Shechalias B'Shabbos, where everyone's going to read earlier, so how's Rashi going to learn the Gemara? So says the Pnei Yeshua, El HaKorch de Rav B'chol Inyan Kama. Rav meant Shalei Bezmanai is all inclusive. El Rashi Iker Milson Nokat. The Nire B'Shvil Kach Matzrichen Asar Mishum Dildedu Leka B'Shum Enisa Kol Kach. Rashi learned the Gemara like this. The real time when you need 10 is when you don't have B'Shum Enisa of everyone. Only small few people are reading it. But the Kivan de Mitchila Satakon Kach Oyo. Avshin is Batal Acha Kach Lin Yibnei Kfarim Afilo Ach Lin Yipurim Shachos B'Shabbos Akati Yim Masa Kamaisi Koy. What the Bnei Yeshua seems to be saying is that Rashi Avada agreed that the real Shalei Bezmanai is when not everyone is reading it. And then the role of the minyan is to infuse Pesu Minis. But what do you do with the Gemara when the Gemara says when Purim falls out on Shabbos and all of Klai Yisrael is reading it on Friday, that's called Shalei Bezmanai? Teres says that's like secondary. Meaning, once we were misakin that whenever you're not reading it on the exact date, that's called Shalei Bezmanai, we call this Shalei Bezmanai also. But really, the idea of Shalei Bezmanai was misakin on a day when not everyone is reading it. So according to the Bnei Yeshua, he's trying to be miyashiv the Gemara. How did Rashi read the Gemara? Rashi read the Gemara like this, that even though technically when Purim falls out on Shabbos, and we're all going to read it on Friday, we're all reading it, and it shouldn't really be called Shalei Bezmanoi. You're right, but since Shalei Bezmanoi got its title for a day where not everyone is reading it, even though today everyone will be reading it, we'll still call it Shalei Bezmanoi. It sounds like one of those, like a loy plug.
So you still need a minion.
So you still need a minion. Right, even though Klai Yisrael is reading it.
Isn't that what the Gemara is saying? Right after it says,
my love, and Megillah.
Yeah.
And the Gemara rejects that.
Right.
So what was the Havamini of the Gemara?
That's a very good question.
That's the Pnei Yeshua's Teretz. His Teretz is the Havamini of the Gemara was that Avad, in theory, it doesn't make sense to say that Rashi would call this Shalei Bezmanoi. But once Rashi started Shalei Bezmanoi in that type of way, even though today the reading on Thursday of Friday of Shabbos is really technically everyone doing it, but it was all part of the Takana. The Takana was once it's not Bezmanoi, everything is off. Even though the whole reason doesn't make sense, 100%. Now, if you accept this, then we can answer the simple kash. What was the kash we started out with? Why doesn't Rashi learn like all the other Rishonim? Teretz is Pashat. What do all the other Rishonim learn? That when Purim falls out on Shabbos, so what's Shalei Bezmanoi? Thursday or Friday. Rashi will tell you that's not Shalei Bezmanoi. Because Rashi's definition of Shalei Bezmanoi was when everyone is reading it. So when Purim falls out on Shabbos and then we push it to Friday, everyone reads it. That's not a breach in Pesach Minisa. So Behechuch Rashi had to come up with a case where you have a situation where not all of Klai Yisrael is reading it. What case is that? That's Korachim. So therefore the Teretz is Pashat. Why Rashi didn't like all the other Rishonim was because in Rashi's mind, that case, Rashi's distinction is how many people are reading it.
So even if it was not Nogea at that point, he was just using it by way of...
Right, because he had to give over a way of telling us it can't be when everyone's reading it.
So why didn't he say that when somebody's traveling?
Right, he could have said it like that case, right. I guess that was his message was, that's the Makar. The reason why we learned you could do the traveling cases from the case that Rashi gave us, from the villages.
You're saying he can't say it, but at the end of the day, he does say it.
Only according to Pnei Yeshua, he does.
Yeah.
According to Pnei Yeshua, we'll see there's another way around this. According to Pnei Yeshua, this doesn't help us. Because according to Pnei Yeshua, he agrees. Exactly. With the Shtikl Torah, with whatever. But if you take aside the Pnei Yeshua, assume his aura and not his teretz, so then Rashi's beautiful. Rashi couldn't learn it was the case when Purim falls out on Shabbos. Because if Purim falls out on Shabbos and we read on the day before, that's not Shalei Bezmanoi. Because Rashi's definition of Shalei Bezmanoi is not calendar based. It's not what day of the calendar it is. It's when everyone's doing it and everyone's going to read it on Friday. Now, if that's true, that's very nice. So now let's flip the card the other way. So what do all the other Rishonim hold? How did they understand Pesume Nisa? How did they understand the difference of Shalei Bezmanoi? So they looked at the calendar. Right, so Machlokes Rishonim is, do you look at the calendar, or do you look at what people are doing? Now, why should that matter? We'll have to see. But that's the Chayra, what you have to say for Rashi. In what way?
The Chavtza is the date.
So the question is, what's Kaveya? The question is, what's Kaveya, the minion?
Is this too Hasidish, the idea that Zmanim is infused in the Zman? When something happens, that's the...
Oh, we're going to talk about it. There's Yushalmi like that. We'll see. There's Yushalmi like that.
We're living that event on this day. So if it happens on the day that is the real day...
So that's $1 million question. Are we reading Megillah on the day that's really Purim? Or are we reading Megillah on a day that they were Masakin to read the Megillah? That sounds strange, because we don't read the Megillah, in the middle of Kislev, but is it shaykh to read the Megillah on a day when it's technically not Purim? That's his whole halacha. Megillah Shalei Bezmanoi by definition means it's not Purim. Well, you don't give Matan Sav Yayinim, you don't give Shalach Manas, but you read the Megillah, which itself is a strange concept. Either it's Purim or it's not Purim, or it's just telling over a story. That's what we need to figure all these things out. What does this mean to read the Megillah, need a minion, but it's not Purim? Very, very strange. You don't find this.
If it was Purim, you wouldn't need it.
And then you're right. So you see that there's a connection between the Megillah and the backdrop of Purim.
It's not like you can't get access to a menorah.
You don't like menorah.
So
exactly.
I'll get it on the 23rd.
That doesn't exist. This is the only place in Halacha we find such a thing. Very strange.
Zohar is the same thing.
Now, because Zohar doesn't have a specific date.
There's
no date. Here they were Misakin. They were Misakin. You're dialed for no walls and Tezva for walls, which will be another. We'll get to some point. Yeah, there's a certain kedusha, but again, you have to explain that the reading of the Megillah is not connected to the mitzvah of to the mahus hayom of Purim, which needs a lot of explanation. Well, what does that mean? It's a very strange concept.
Presumably, Lisa has different definitions depending on when you're doing it. Meaning, if you're doing it on Purim itself.
Oh.
And you don't need them in. You have presuming needs
from something else. Yeah. Oh, so that's the Turi Evan.
Aren't you doing all the other things also on the Friday?
Good. Very
everything
good.
Everything that makes Purim on Purim not need a minion.
Beautiful.
Because you've got all this other. Right. So you're doing it anyway the day before. So what's it?
That leads us into number 8, the Turi Evan. Kavaldik. That's mamish the lead in. Perfect lead into what we need to get to. So again, we have a shayla of what does Rashi do within a case where Purim falls out on Shabbos? The Gemara says when Purim falls out on Shabbos, the Gemara calls that Shaloi Bezmanai. The Kash is of the Pnei Yeshua, and we'll see the Turi Evan, is that according to Rashi, that's not Shaloi Bezmanai. Why is it not Shaloi Bezmanai? Because Rashi's definition of Shaloi Bezmanai was when not everyone is reading it. But when Purim falls out on Shabbos, everyone reads it on Friday or Thursday, it's Machlokes in the Gemara. So how does Rashi read the Gemara? So the Pnei Yeshua gave us some form of what I consider a very big doichik, that you're right. If you asked Rashi straight up, is Purim Shacholis B'Shabbos called Shaloi Bezmanai? Rashi will tell you, no, it's really Bezmanai. But Shaloi Bezmanai now became defined as any day off the calendar. But originally, Shaloi Bezmanai was defined by how many people are reading it. Says the Turi Evan number 8, V'Koshali, Itayim B'Mishum Hochi, if Pshat is like Rashi about how many people are reading it, my Parich Mehod the Purim Shachol B'Shabbos, what was the Gemara's Kasha from when Purim falls out on Shabbos? The Kasaka, Daitar Shekayim B'Erev Shabbos B'Yochid, the Gemara thinks you're allowed to read it on Friday B'Yochid. Ha Shaloi Bezmanai D'Erev Shabbos Dami Lohod the Bezmanai. The Shaloi Bezmanai of a Purim Shecholiyos B'Shabbos is the exact same thing as a Bezmanai. Why? Shari Legamri Batal HaKriyim Yom HaShabbos Shu Yom Yudalid V'Hakol Karim Be'erev Shabbos. Because in that case, everyone's reading on the same day. The Ikka Persume Nisa. And then you'll have your Persume Nisa. Because Rashi was the one who told us that the difference between your Zmanai and Shaloi Bezmanai is numbers. So if it's all about numbers, Frek the Turi Evan, as did the Pnei Yeshua, when I'm going to read it on, when Purim falls out on Shabbos and we're going to read it on Friday, we're all going to read it on Friday. So then, that should not be called a Shaloi Bezmanai, that should be called a Bezmanai. So, Frekta Turi Evin, Ava Shaloi Bezmanai, Shakfarim, that Kokarim Yidal, Elashim Nekfarim, the Chutkarim Yemeknisla, Leka Persuminisa. I understand Rashi, when you're talking about the villagers, so you have a small village, a group of people, the rest of Klai Yisrael is not reading it today. So, a small village reads it today, good, so they need 10. But when Purim falls out on Shabbos, and the entire community is reading it on Friday, that's called Shaloi Bezmanai, Mamish the Kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. So the Turi Evin writes like this, Vili Nira, Dehainu Taimo, Devade Kriyas Megillah Mitzar Atzmoi, Kishi Biyochid Leka Persuminisa Kulehai. Zog the Turi Evin, the Megillah reading itself, this is what we were asking before about Menorah. The Megillah reading itself does not create a Persuminisa. Why not? Says the Turi Evin, because Leka Persuminisa Kulehai, Dinira Kikairi Bekisvei HaKadosh Balma. You're reading a Jewish book. Okay, I'll have to get to that. See in a second. I mean, it doesn't necessarily intrinsically give off Persominis. Reading the Megillah story does not automatically create Persominis. Afagav Mavarcha Lehel. One second. You're making a bracha. That's usually a dead giveaway. I understand. Right? Kids in school learn Megillah Esther all year long. It's a beautiful limud. Right? So I decided to take out my Megillah on a regular Tuesday in the winter because I'm bored. I'll read the Megillah. Zog to Turi Evin. That's not Persominis. That's not Persominis. I'm making a bracha. We know we don't just make brachas for nothing. Says it to me. Avakav mevarcha leha. Mikra Megillah shasanis meshachianu. Kedamino lekamon reish perigimel, which we'll later have to talk about the significance of the bracha on Mikra Megillah. Ein zeheker gomor. Says it to me. That itself is not enough. Vahare nisa bazeh. So chiddush number one from the Turi Evin is Megillah reading itself does not give off persominis. Now, what would you hold about Neiros Chanukah? Does lighting a light with candles in the middle of the winter give off Persuminis intrinsically? I don't know, maybe. But he thinks reading a Megillah does not give off that message because people used to read from Jewish scrolls. That was Megillus. People read Kisvei HaKadosh. No, we're talking about now Biyachid. We're trying to figure out, does the Megillah... Right. So then he writes, so Lefizeh, he says very Geshmak. He says, Lefichach, Shaloi Bezmanoi, he wants to answer for Rashi. So he says like this, when you're going to read the Megillah Shaloi Bezmanai...
Well, what's the Harei Nisa?
That's where he continues on to discuss something else, about what will give you Persu Menisa, which we'll see in a second. Then, this is what happens when I cut and paste in different pieces. I don't give you the whole piece.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. I don't want anyone to think I make things up over here, you know? Kula
Misina. Words.
I don't want to skip anything. Everything here is with a chesed. So he basically this. I try to limit the amount of paper and ink we use up. I try to be careful. Even though we usually don't get to everything we put on the booklet. Anyways, that's always my extension of Shalach Manas, right? The Manas Levi, when he wrote a sefer on, he wrote a whole sefer about the Megillah. He gave it to his father-in-law as Shalach Manas. He didn't want to buy him a big basket for more nuts, so he bought him Shalach Manas. He gave him a sefer. So many rebbes do this. Many Chassidish rebbes, they give Torah as a Shalach Manas. Whatever we don't get to, that should be considered Shalach Manas, which you're not yet anyways, but okay. You can enjoy it over your Purim, say, or over your Purim to read the rest of the Marmukim. It's Shalach Manas, definitely Shalach Manas. But I'd say, I don't want you to wait to learn it till Tuesday. You can use it before if you want. But in any case, but Zog the Turi Evin, so one second, let's go back to answer Rashi. He writes, one second. What happens when it falls out on Shabbos and you read it on Friday, everyone's reading it? So the Torah, it doesn't matter how many people are doing it. It's not about numbers. It's about, does this book relay a message of Persuminis? Says the Torah, you know what's special about Megillah Bezmanai? It's not the numbers. It's the backdrop of the day of Purim. It's an Amin Shul reading the Megillah, and then when I leave Shul, I give Shalach Manas. And I leave Shul, I give Matras of Yainim. And then I go home and I eat a Suda. Somehow, and this leaves Hezbollah, I think, somehow the backdrop of the Mitzvah Hayoim create the Persominis of the Megillah. So therefore, Zok the Turiyev, and it's not about how many people read the Megillah. The whole world can read the Megillah on one day. But if you're not going to be Noyig Dinei Purim, then the Megillah itself is not a Persominis. So then it's just reading a book. So Zog the Turiyev, and this needs a lot of Hezbollah, because how? That's the kasha, right? I read the Megillah 8 o'clock in my shul. Yeah. No one knows what's going on. I go home 3 hours later and have a Purim Suda. Oh, now we connect the two things. Yeah, very, very strange.
Well, it creates the atmosphere. Mm.
There's definitely an atmosphere. There's a feeling. I agree, but the Turiyev learns a whole new pshat in the Gemara. He learns what creates the Persominis is not the Megillah. Rashi learned it's about the numbers of people reading the Megillah. Zog the Turiyev, it's not about that. It's about reading the Megillah with the backdrop of Mitzvah Sayyid. So when you read the Megillah on Friday when Purim falls down on Shabbos, it's not Purim. Everyone's reading the Megillah. Who cares? There's no Purim.
But isn't everybody giving Matos?
No, they're going to give that a different day, the Gemara. That's a Machlokes, really. It's Machlokes in the Gemara.
The way to read the Megillah, that's reading Matos of Yonim.
That's what the Gemara said. Right, that. So that's the Gemara, but not all Mitzvah Sayyid, only some. Only some. That's the Ara Yeruchim Olshan on the bottom footnote of the Sefer. New Sefer just came out. I'm assuming everyone bought it already.
It's ready. I finished it already.
I couldn't even get a copy of it in Queens. I went to two Swarms. I couldn't even get it. I had to go to Baltimore to finally find the copy.
You could have gotten it in Lakeland. You went back at 4 in the morning.
To get the copy. To get a Sefer. It's beautiful. But he has the footnote. He has his kasha. He says, 1 second. What mitzvahs are you knowing when Purim falls out in Shabbos? So you know some, not all. You don't have all mitzvahs say yeah. It's machlokes the gemara, machlokes the
shita. You have Purim falling out on Shabbos.
Yeah.
They say you have to be shaylim medarshim b'yom on that day. Why? Because that's presumenis.
Right.
That's actually shmuzing on Shabbos.
Right, but you don't have the other mitzvahs sayyim. You don't have the other mitzvahs sayyim. If you don't have all the mitzvahs sayyim, then it's not going to work. That's his teretz. Okay. So if you accept the Turiyev, it's very geshmak also. If you accept the Turiyev, so we have another pshat. That what the fact that everyone reads the Megillah is not going to be good enough.
Right.
The Netziv, number 9, has a different way of answering up the Gemara. The Netziv writes that he's bothered with the same kasha that the Pnei Shu has, the same kasha that Turi Evan has. How does Rashi read the Gemara that Megillah Shloi Bezmane is called when Purim falls out on Shabbos? So he writes, L'chayri kasha, number 9, Hol Pirish Rashi, Tam Shino Izman, Mishloi Bezmane, Hu Mishom Bezmanam Karim Betzibur, Imkein Beshecho Beshabbos, Mishloi Bezmanam, Avizmanam Mamish. The same kasha. Pnei Yeshu is kasha, the Turi Evan's kasha. So he comes up with a whole different mahalach. Says the Netziv, Avoloi kasha midi. The Lafi Asakadai dech derav svirule, de Purim shecho b'shabes makdim le maknisa. He says like this, Rav held that when Purim falls down on Shabbos, you don't read the Megillah on Friday. You read the Megillah on Thursday. So when the Gemara by us in Megillah was talking about reading the Megillah on Friday, it was for that small group of people who didn't read it when they were supposed to. When the Gemara had a kasha that when Purim falls out on Friday, when Purim falls out on Shabbos, we should read the Megillah on Friday, and Friday should be called Shalei Bezman, he's zogt in the tziv. It didn't mean for all of Klal Yisrael, because Rav held all of Klal supposed to read it on Thursday. For those stragglers who didn't get to it on Thursday, they read it on Friday. So zogt in the tziv, it's beautiful. It's not a whole group. The real group read it on Thursday. Right. It was just these little few guys who didn't know the halacha. They read it on Friday. Oh, that's Takash Lebizmanim, according to Rashi, because it's only a small group. So if it's up to the tziv, it's not shver, how to learn how Rashi.
I mean, that Thursday was Bizmanim.
That's right. Thursday was the real Bizmanim. I, the Gemara, calls Friday Shalei Bizmanim. That's because Rav held when Purim falls out on Shabbos, the real Bizmanim is Thursday.
How does he get that?
How did Rav learn that way?
The Gemara.
Rav says this. Rav says this somewhere else in the Masechta. Yeah, Rav says in the Masechta that when Purim falls out, it's Machlokes in the Gemara. What do you do? So the Dr. Netziv, everything is very Geshmak and Rash. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. The question was, has Rash learned the Gemara? The Gemara says when Purim falls out on Shabbos and you read the Megillah on Friday, that's called Shalei Bezman. So the Kasha says, what do you mean? Everyone reads it. Says that Netziv, no, Rav held that when Purim falls on Shabbos, we're all supposed to read it on Thursday. So the Gemara was talking about those guys who didn't read it on Thursday when they were supposed to. So now it's a small group. Oh, so Rashi holds whenever it's a small group, that's Shalei Bezmanai. So that's why the Gemara calls it Shalei Bezmanai. And then you would need a minute. So that's why Rashi called that Gemara on Purim Shechalias B'Shabbos, V'Karim Be'Arif Shabbos, Shalei Bezmanai. Okay. Now if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch writes, Megillah Be'Abba Osir V'Chamisha Osir, Tzarech Lachzor Achar Asar. The Megillah that's read Bezmanai, you need to get Tzarech lachzor achar asar. Should try. You need to go after 10. V'mi'ef shebasar. If you can't get a minion, karen moisei biyachid. You're allowed to read it. Biyachidus. Who's that? Well, that's not so clear. It could be Rav, and it could be Ravasi. Remember, I mentioned to you that Ravasi is not clear if he holds it's ma'akiv. So the Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to try to get a minyan. If he can't get a minyan, it's okay. Zokter Amav, Yesh L'Stapi, this is a big sugi that we don't have time to get to today.
You make a bracha, or you just read it?
No, no, you make a bracha. Well, Tais is really about Varendis, but we pass, you do make a bracha.
Tais, like
right, right. Oh, so he uses the word mitzvah. Then the Ramah writes, V'yesh l'stabi gimnoshim mitztaref is lasar. What about, can women join this minyan? Let's say you read in the beginning. This is something we touched upon in other. Can they be counted to because the 10 is not L'davisha B'kdusha. The 10 is to Pesume Nisa. This is a very fundamental shaila. Because when you need 10 L'davisha B'kdusha, we know already women can't count for L'davisha B'kdusha. We've spoken about that in the past. But what about if they're not there to be a L'davisha B'kdusha? They're there just to create an avir. So why can't they create the avir? For example, other Rishayim talk about, let's say, Ketan. They'll invite 9 kids. They'll have 10 kids. You and 9 kids. They'll be the middle. Yeah, 10, 11-year-old kids. They're not mitzvah for the minyan no matter what. But there's still people in the room. So the Ramah says, Yeshle stopping im noshim mitzvah la'asara, v'imkar rosa b'tziba v'eizah yochel l'shom. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that shayla from the Ramah. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Zok the Mishnah Berurah number yud. He says there's a suffix. Yeshle stopping b'zeh. And I'm just throwing out that part of the suffix is what you need to create person. So obviously, you don't need, it's not a davar shebikdusha. If it be a davar shebikdusha, of Adi, you can't use women in the davar shebikdusha.
You
can't, right. The question is, there's some element that we're learning about Megillah that needs an attendance. And the question is, who can be the attendees? So the Ramos Mesupik and other Rishayim Ramos talking about Ketanim, are they enough to create an attendance? Right? Someone wrote to me that they said if you can't.
FaceTime.
Yeah, I thought that was very fair. I don't know. We spoke here once about, maybe I shouldn't talk about it again, about Megill over the microphone.
Right, so
Rabbi Leibowitz said that this in the shir that he gave on this topic regarding the
what did he say?
He said it's only for this year.
That's a psak. Sorry. There is an opinion amongst Achrayim. We spoke about this before in Halacha Shir once about whether I can hear the Megill over the microphone. It's a big discussion amongst
Achrayim.
Maybe this year, let's say. It's a big one.
So for this year,
people are making Leis Atzayrich.
FaceTime,
Skype. Leis Atzayrich. You have no choice. Yeah, it's a big shayla. We spoke about this. You can listen online. We did this Tuesday night. Yeah, whether or not it's really the real voice, or is it really considered a changed voice? This is an old child about microphones. It comes up for a million things.
I think he was quoting Rav Shachter, in fact.
That he was making this.
Yeah,
if Moshe has two tshuvas about it,
yeah.
We spoke. We did halacha about this maybe last year, 2 years ago. Take a listen. We discussed this about what's the status of a microphone. Moshe has two tshuvas. One place he's more maker, one place he's more machmir. He talks about a case of a yeshiva where they have to move the tables and the chairs. All shayla, which is also the case. Every single Friday, every single Matzah Shabbos, people make avdol over the phone. This we've spoken about. Also very controversial. To make avdol, let's say you have an elderly family member who doesn't come to avdol, so you make avdol for them over the phone. Rive of Achrein, besides for Moshe Feinstein, held you not Jaitse. You can't make avdol over the phone. But Moshe was Mekel, so many people are Mekel like with Moshe.
So Moshe would certainly be Mekel today with FaceTiming and, you know.
I don't think that doesn't change anything. It doesn't, the fact that you see the person doesn't change.
No.
It's not about seeing the person. The question is Nishtana HaKoyel. Does the voice change? That's the shayla. This was a famous Reb Shlomo Zalman, he wrote his famous Kuntresim. We've spoken about this many times. Reb Shlomo Zalman wrote one of his famous Kuntresim about electricity, where he writes that everyone missed the Metzias. No one knows the Metzias as well as he did, and he was, I think, 20 years old when he wrote this. This is where he got his big exposure, was when he wrote all about electricity. He thought all the Achrayim didn't understand how it worked. They didn't understand the lumbus of how electricity works and how this works and that works. So he had his own opinion. But in any case, so...
They're getting back to women by the... Neros Hanukkah. So women are...
Yeah, 100%. They definitely can't for Pesach Menisa, right?
They can be Yotze.
Right, because they have... Right? Right? They definitely consider Pesach Menisa. 100%. Your wife is Pesach Menisa. 100%. So the question is, again, what is the role of this minion?
I'm no feminist.
The question again, we're still trying to figure out. Trying to figure out what is the role of the person, meaning, what is the role of this minion? So again, it can't be for a davar shebikdusha because women are never considered for davar shebikdusha. So if it's just person, then what's even the shayla? Okay, good. So let's see if we'll ever get to that today. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah first. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, number 11. What's your dal with tezvav? Hainu be your dal da yoris with tezvav mukafin. For a tzoloimer. Av shehu bizmani vikar person, meaning, sebal avachi. So like Mishnah Berurah, why do I need 10? It's bizmanoi. And bizmanoi, we hold like Ravi, don't need 10. Shakol karin boisman, because everyone's reading it. Afilu hochi tzorich letroich velkabet asori shebeis kriya mishon personis. You still try to get the people. They call shakenim who shalei bizmanoi. How does Mr. Brewer learn shalei bizmanoi? What's his case? Kigayin ha mefarish b'yam b'yatsa b'shiroi. Ve'ena moitza megillah lahoy l'chimai. The mutl hakim l'kores hakeidim shiatsa. How did Mr. Brewer learn the case of shalei bizmanoi? Like we mentioned, when you're leaving earlier. Oi, the misrami yoim tezvav b'shabbos. Or when Purim falls out on Shabbos, the tzrich and amukaf and lahakdim lekreisi be'erev Shabbos. So he learns, like all the other Rishonim, he learns the case of where Purim falls out on Shabbos, and you got to read it earlier. Frekti Sharetzion. Ah, he says, Kein Muchach B'Gemara, Dizel Gamke Mechal Shalei B'Zmanet. Points at the Sharetzion, that's the Raya that we have from the Gemara, unless you learn the Gemara like the Turiyev and the Pnei Yeshua. Av the B'Zeh HaKol Karim Be'erev Shabbos. Frekti Sharetzion Akasha. How could that be called Shalei B'Zmanet? Everyone's doing it. Why is that Shalei B'Zmanet? Mikamakam Hoyul V'Dochi Hu M'Zmanoi HaMiyuchad Loi. Sounds like a loy plug. Sounds like the Pnei Yeshua. That you're right. Avada, if you look at Shalei B'Zmanai, the typical case of Shalei B'Zmanai is when not everyone is reading it. You don't have that in the case of Purim. He doesn't say like the Turi Evan because you don't have the backdrop of Matanus Ev Yoinim or Sudas Purim. He sounds more like the Pnei Yeshua. And in order to have B'Zmanai, what do you need? You need to have B'Zmanai means everyone's reading it. In this case, everyone's also reading it, but yeah, once it's already pushed off the calendar, that's already called Shalei B'Zmanet. So the Chayr, you're going to have to say, according to Rashi, that there's the real Shalei B'Zmanet, which is when not everyone is reading it. Then there's what we call the Loi Pluk Shalei B'Zmanet. That's the days that, even though everyone is reading it, but it gets pushed off the calendar. Or according to the Turi Evan, the Shalei B'Zmanet means that you don't have the backdrop of Purim. Okay, this is the simple part of the Shir. Now we're going to see the Rambam Shita. What would a Shir be without a Rambam? Okay, so let's see the Rambam Shita. So we have a Machlokes Rishonim to Rashi and everyone else how to learn the case of Shalei B'Zmanet. Does Shalei B'Zmanet mean that you're reading the Megillah on Shabbos, falls out on Purim, falls out on Shabbos, and you're reading it either on Friday or Thursday, or you're a villager or you're a traveler? So the Rambam writes like this. Look at the Rambam. B'nei HaKfarim HaMakdim L'Yoyim HaKnisa. Those villagers that only get together on Monday and Thursday, so tiknu lehem, they made a takana. Shiyu magdimin v'kayrim b'yei maknisa. They have the right to read it b'yei maknisa. Ketzad, how does this work? Zok Rambam. Imchol yom yudal yis b'sheni. If Purim falls out on a Monday or a Thursday, kayrim b'yei, they read it Monday and Thursday. V'imchal b'yei macher. If let's say Purim falls out on a different day of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday. So chutz b'sheni v'chamishi. Magdimin v'kayrim b'sheni v'chamishi asamach liyadal. They go earlier to the closest Monday, Thursday date. So let's say, for example, this year, Purim falls out on Tuesday, so they would read it on Monday. Ketzad, then he says, Ketzad. Chol, he gives you mamish a detailed list over here. Ketzad. Chol yudal liyos be'echad b'shabbos. Purim falls out on Sunday, so magdimi v'karim b'chamishi. They'll read the Megillah on Thursday, shu yom yudalef, that's the 11th. Chol liyos b'shlishi, karim b'sheni, shu yom yudgimel. Chol liyos b'revi, karim b'sheni, shu yom yudbeis. V'chol eil hu shemakdimin v'karim kaidim yudalid. Any one of the above cases where you're going to read before yudalid, in karim oisa, b'pachas me'asara, you may not read less than 10 people. So how did the Rambam learn the Gemara? L'chayr like Rashi. He keeps on talking about Kfarim, Makdimim, Makdimim, Makdimim. So he l'chayr don't like Rashi. That when is there a din of Boi Asara? When you're reading it, when you're reading it earlier. Why are you reading it earlier? Not because Chal, he doesn't talk about Shabbos. Not a word mentioned about Shabbos. So l'chayr from this Rambam would be Mashma, that the Rambam understood like Rashi. That you're talking about so the cases.
He says when it's on Monday, you do it on Monday.
Right, because well, then there's no din of.
Say anything about a minion or not a minion.
Right, but he says at the end, he recaps, anytime you're going to read before it's the actual day, you're always going to need a minyan. So it seems to be kipshutoi that the Rambam understood the Gemara like Rashi. That when the Rav said, Megillah Shalei B'Zmanet Boyasar, what was Shalei B'Zmanet? Any day that you're going to be pushing, why would you push off a day? Teretz says, because you're a kfarim. He gives you the whole list. Teretz says, he's not like Rashi. We're talking about kfarim.
So
the same kasha on the Rambam, even Shverah on the Rambam. The Rambam's a halacha sefer. He's telling us what to do. Why would the Rambam go like Rashi? So we fetched him, we gave up a terutzim for Rashi. But the Rambam, if the Rambam wanted to tell you halacha lemaisa, he should tell you straight. That's the pella on the Rambam. Secondly,
well, he did tell you straight.
No, but he didn't tell you the case of he told you about cases that are not negeil halacha. No longer we're going to do these. And the one case which we do when it falls out on Shabbos, according to those Rishonim, he doesn't talk about it at all.
Weird that
how strange. So detailed, the Rambam. It's not even a Gaya. It's not, right. Doesn't trust us.
And the Rambam would hold that if Bismano, you wouldn't need a minion.
Right, like Rav, right?
You must hold that when you do an Erev Shabbos. That's not considered.
Oh, so what does the Rambam hold about when Purim falls out on Shabbos? Doesn't tell us.
Yeah, because it's not.
So there's a very, very important dig that the Ar Sameach and the Chazanish both make in the end of the Rambam. What was the dig? The Chol Elu Shemakdimin V'Koyrim. Koidim Yadalit. Anytime you're going to read before Yadalit, what are the scenarios where you won't? That could be Shabbos. That's Shabbos. When Purim falls out on Purim falls out on Yadalit, then you talk of being Kairim Koidim Yadalit. So Zogt Chazanish and Dar Semech, he's not disagreeing with the other Rishonim. He alluded to it in this line. It's not Mefurish in Rambam, but he's alluding to the fact that he's not arguing on the other Rishonim. He's not saying like we were learnt in Rashi, that Rashi might tell you that when Purim falls out on Shabbos, reading it on Friday is called Bizmanoi. Maybe the Rambam agrees that when Purim falls out on Friday, and then you're going to read it on Thursday, I'm sorry, Purim falls out on Shabbos, and you're going to read it on Friday, Purim is, Shabbos is Yud Dalet, you're going to read it on Yud Gimel, that's what? That's Kairim Kaidim Yud Dalet. And the Rambam holds, whenever you're Kairim, Kaidim, you're Dalet, you need a minute.
You can't say the same kash in the Rambam that also not halacha l'maisim, right?
What would that?
That Purim falls out on Shabbos.
Oh, right, okay, that's true. Right? That's true.
And but then what? Not during the Rambam.
Well, again, at least not in the Rambam's times, right? At least in the Gemara's times it could be. But this is a deal that both the Chazanish make and the Ramei Simcha Dar Sameach make in this Rambam.
And what about the, like, just a private individual is going on a boat?
So that he doesn't. Well, that would probably be included in the guys of the villagers.
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe the guys of the villagers, because that was like the way Klal Yisrael
could be
ran itself.
That's a question. The question
wasn't just a guy wanted to go on a vacation.
So the Shulchan Aruch seemed to have assumed, as the Gemara does, that's borrowed from the case of the villagers. It's a secondary halacha learned from the villager case. You want to say there's differences? Maybe. Fundamentally, there are differences.
For purposes of the villagers, it's like all of Klal Yisrael who doesn't have that problem with getting to the
right. That's true. There's definitely a difference between the two cases, as opposed to one who doesn't have an option versus one who electively decides to go on vacation.
What's the Rambam's reason? Because if you say it can't be like he's holding like Rashi that's not a Klal Yisrael, because then it's Friday.
That's what I wanted to get to. So now the Rambam really backed himself into a corner. He's not like Rashi. He's not like the other Rishonim. Oh, good. Now here's the Shaila. What would the Rambam hold if Purim falls out on Tezvav in Yerushalayim?
It's not Kodim
Yudalit. That's another deed to Meshech Chachma, the Arsa Meach makes. What would the Ram? We keep on saying that according to all the Rishonim, if it's Yudalit falls out on Shabbos, or Tezvav falls out on Shabbos, that's called Shalei Bezmanei. But in the Rambam, it's not so clear. Taina de Meshech, Taina de Arsa Meach, Taina de Chazanish, according to the Rambam, that would not be the case. Why? Because that wouldn't be Kairim Kairim Yudalit. That would be Kairim Be Yudalit. So it comes out even stranger according to Rambam. Comes out according to Rambam, when Purim falls out on Shabbos, Yudalit in America, then you're going to read it on your Gimel, that's Shalei Bizmanoi. But if it's going to be Purim in Yerushalayim on Tezvav, and you're going to read it on Yudalit, that's called Bizmanoi. Memonavshach. If it's about the numbers, if it's about what everyone's doing it, in both cases, everyone's doing the same thing.
Definitely likes the day.
Where do you see the Rambam is heading? There's something about the day Yudalit. He's giving a certain chashivas to Yom Yudalit that he's not giving to Tezvav. That's clear in the Rambam. So if you look over here in the Ar Sameach of Meir Simcha, he makes his diak. He writes over Masu Gavina B'Shem B'Ami Kol Sha'om B'Yitchalei Maknisa Uvovad Ba'Asara Avu Mukafin Shekoyin B'Yudalit. Again, Walled City is supposed to read it on Tezvav, but if they read it on Yudalit, Haynu B'Chol B'Erev Shabbos Koyin Afilu B'Yachid. They can read it even B'Yachid. So he makes the same diak. His diak is that if you're in a Walled City and you're a Tezvav and then you're going to read it on Yudalit, that's called Bizmanai.
Most of the world is reading.
He says, That was the diak, says the Remei Simcha. Anyone who's reading it before Yudalit. But if you're in Yerushalayim and Purim falls out on Shabbos on Tezvav and you're going to read it on Erev Shabbos, you're not reading it before Yudalit. You're reading it on Yudalit. So Zokhtar Semech, in such a case, that's not called Makdimin Lifnei Yudalit. What's the pshat? He writes, "Avafilu b'chal b'shabbos the pasuk Rabbeinu d'olakim shneseinu el karev the karem b'gimel mikamakim loy domi lumukafin the karem b'yudalit." So the question is, 1 second. So why is that any different than when Purim falls out in America on Shabbos and I read it on Yud Gimel? That's called Shalei Bizmanei. Why is Yudalit to Yud Gimel Shalei Bizmanei, but Tezvav to Yudalit not Shalei Bizmanei?
Tezvav is never Bizmanei.
Tezvav
is really not.
So he says the Amar B'Yushami says this is Yushami. Was it saying Yushami? Shakol yoytzim b'yadalid. Everyone's yoytzim with yadalid. Bizman kriya lakoilhi. Shizman kriya lakoilhi. So like Yushami, everyone can be yoytzim on yadalid. Everyone can be yoytzim on yadalid.
That's the ikker day of the
young. That's a very big statement to say. Really? Is that true?
World cities were a small minority.
So let's get to that.
There's a special
takhan. So let's see. This is what we need. This
no different than the krachim on the other end.
That's a question. That's a very good shayla. That's a big machlokes. I think we're showing.
So they asked that instead of declaring it. Are they different than
the that's a good shayla. I think that's a very lomdish shayla. How do you look at this? Let's go back a step. When you're allowed to read the Megillah earlier, is anyone telling me that I'm changing the day of Yud Aleph in your base to give it Chashivas? Or it's a heter in Kriyas HaMegillah? When I read the Megillah on Yud Aleph Yud Beis, I'm not changing Yud Aleph Yud Beis. Yud Aleph Yud Beis is still Yud Aleph Yud Beis. There's a heter because it's a tircha, because it's difficult. They let me read it on the 11th. But when I read the Megillah on Yud Dalet, even though I live in Eretz in Yerushalayim, what day am I reading the Megillah on? I'm reading on everyone else's Purim. Is that change? Again, it's not Purim for me.
But that's not true when it's Shabbos issue, because the entire...
No, but again, the Yerushalmi Paskins, if I am a Ben Yerushalayim, and I b'dieved read the Megillah on a Ben on Yud Dalet, I'm Yetze. Which is very strange. It's not important for you.
Not Shabbos, just
a regular, not Shabbos. Yeah. Regular, Yerushalmi Paskins, Taras Sameach Chiddush. Regular, this year, if you can, again, now it's much easier with travel. I'm a Ben Eretz Yisrael, I'm a real Ben Eretz Yisrael, I'm the real deal, right? And I decide to be in America on Tuesday, and I hear the Megillah Yetze. Even if I'm going to fly back Wednesday, I don't have to call Yerushalmi Yetze. Question is, why? It's not Purim for me. So it's Purim for everyone else, so what? That's the words of the Yerushalmi. So he writes, Lachain, Havi Afilu Biyochid, therefore, Zok Taras Sameach, that's Pshan the Rambam. According to the Rambam, when Tezva falls out on Shabbos and you read it on your Dalet, that's Bismanoi. Why? Because really everyone can read it on your Dalet. So the question is, one second. I thought we made up that this Yom Tov Purim is going to be some your Dalet, some Tezva. This Arsemech, Yushami, sounds like that's not the Lomdus. So if you look in the Me'iri, it's Mefurs like this in the Mishayim. And this is the question. This is something that always bothered me about Purim until I found this Ran. The first Ran, I should have found it earlier. The first round of the Dapei Aran, the Dapei Riff, and the Dapei Beis, asked this Kasha. Where do you ever find a Yom Tif where we split Klai Yisrael? We spoke about this morning. The whole idea of Klai Yisrael is to be unified. And how do we start the Yom Tif? Okay, you guys, this day. You guys, this day. What a strange thing.
It's the second day of Yom Tif.
No, second day of Yom Tif was a secondary thing. It was because really it's supposed to be one way. But because you don't know the Kriya D'Archa, it was set up from the get-go. It would be like Hanukkah saying, well, okay, so this half of the world keeps Hanukkah from Chafei Tol, and you guys keep, it's a very strange thing. Especially if you go with the famous Manas Levi, that at the time of the Purim story, there was a Pirut, there was a breach in Achdus. You can't bring people back together more than separating them. How do we bring Klai Yisrael back together? By saying, well, you guys don't have Purim today. We have Purim today. You have Purim tomorrow. So we'll get drunk today. You get drunk tomorrow.
Let's look at the reason why.
What was the pshat? So if you look in the Me'iri, so I happened to mention this before. I think the lesson from a Hashkafa point is very different. The lesson is that, fakert, we're allowed to disagree. Amifuzo Mefora doesn't mean we all have to walk the same way. Amifuzo Mefora means is that we're not unified in things that we should be unified about. We're allowed to have different opinions of halacha. You have your Rav, and I have my Rav, and I have my Rebbe, and that's fine. You can follow Mechaber, and I can follow Ramah. That's not a break. People would say, you have to all get together. We all have to follow the same psak. No, we don't. Shivan Panam L'Tayr. We all have to get together with things that are not halachically based. If someone needs help, if someone needs a hand, someone needs money, that we all are the same. So if I can, when it comes to matters of halacha, it's totally permissible to be different. People get this idea, we all have to be the same. I have to follow your Rav, you have to follow my Rav. No, you don't. You follow your Rav, and I respect him, and I follow my Rav, and I respect him, Shalom Alei Nafshi. That's beautiful, that's Achdus. Achdus means when there's a fund to collect money for someone, you say, I'm not giving money to that guy because he doesn't daven in my shul, he doesn't dress my way, that's not Achdus. But faket, following your Rabbanim and your Messiah, that's the greatest level of Achdus in the world. That's not a breach in Achdus. That's what it means. No, that was meant.
No, Megillah is supposed to personify the saving of the entire nation.
Right, it's showing you that what you think a breach in Achdus means that we all have to be the same. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we all have to keep Hashem's mitzvahs and follow His Torah, but we don't all have to follow it the same way. We all have to help each other. That we do have to do. Okay, so let's just see the Rishayim. Oh, wow. Okay, so let's just see this idea. Is this true? Is what we're saying correct? The Fiza was saying that when you read the Megillah on Yudalit, everyone's Yaitse Yudalit, because that's Bismanai. Why is that Bismanai? Because for some reason Yudalit is the real Purim. Tezvav is the secondary Purim. So if you look in the Me'iri writes, nearly a tam, shakrochim l'roiv chashivosom, royil lehem l'smayach b'shnei hayom. He says the krochim, because they're chashiv, they should really have 2 days of Purim. Demoisa kriyasa b'yudalit, and if they only read the Megillah on Yudalit, kvar kolsa hasimcha, achash ova yoim ikaranis. It would be old news already. The Krav and Amakov is Chaim, read on Tezvav. So to me, they should really have 2 days Purim. We should all have 2 days Purim. Yudal Tezvav, for the Krachim, because they went to war on Tezvav. They should really celebrate both days. But we all know, once you read the Megillah, Purim is already over. So Zokta Meiri, they were afraid if they're going to have them read the Megillah first on Tezvav, first on Yudalid, they'll never do a Tezvav. Tezvav will never come. Then they're going to have to do both days. Avokfarim v'ayaras lo hitrichom elo yemechad v'hu yoyim tchilas aneiz v'ikaron. What does it sound like from the Iri? At the real Yom Tov, Iker Hanes is Yudalit. We want the Kfarim, we want those walled cities to do both. We want them to do Yudalit and Tezvav. But the only way to get them to do Tezvav is if we make them read the Megillah on Tezvav. So what do you see from the Iri? Mamash Lad Yesh Yushalmi. That the real day of Purim, for everyone, is Yudalit. Now this is L'chayr against the Ran. I think it's against the Ran. The famous Ran over here, number 16, he starts off on the right side. Yesh Kan She'ela. Ma ro anshe knes agdele l'chalik mitzazu liyom l'chalukim. What's pshat, frek the Ran? That they split Purim into 2 days. Very strange. L'yoyim yuchel l'prozim yemechem yuchel l'krochem. Ma she'ekim shar mitzvus. Shariah teir omre teir achas mishpedechet. So the Meiri gave us an answer. What was his answer? Because they really should have 2 days. But we're afraid if we're going to give them just Yudal, they'll never come around to doing Tezvav. He gives the Chayyim a different answer. He writes, because the miracle didn't happen on the same day. Those in the non-walled cities, they defeated their enemies on the 14th. And the first year of Purim, each community celebrated kefi what they went through. So I won my war in Yudal, and I made a party in Yudal. You won your war in Tezvav, you made a party in Tezvav. And therefore, when they set it up, the Yom Tov, when Anshak and Nesek Dela turned this into just being a private experience, into being a Yom Tov, they were conveyed that way, the Hishvu, Kolak Racham, Amakav, Tchayma, L'shusha. So, Rabbi Yochanan Moshen writes that this Ran is like the Meiri. I mamas don't understand that. Fakert. This Ran sounds to me exactly not like the Meiri. This Ran sounds like to me against the Yushalmi. This Ran sounds like to me that Yudalit is Purim for you, and Tezvav is Purim for you. That's it. Right. I'll ask me, Akasha, why it is that way? It's because the Yom Tov reflects the storyline. Mm-hmm. And the way the storyline played out was for you it was this, and for you it was this. Mm-hmm. So the Akasha was, why did they do it that way? The answer was, they did it that way because that's how it played out. So it's not like the Meiri or the Yushalmi that keeps on saying that Yudalit is the real day, and Tezvav was the secondary. I don't think so. I think this Ran is more mashma to me, at least. And it's funny to me, maybe Rucham Moshe writes in the Sefer, this Ran is a right to the Meiri. I don't get it.
The vast majority of the Jewish world was...
That's the Ramban.
The Yeshua was on the 14th, because that's when Klal Yisrael as a whole was saved. On the 15th, it's true. Historically, that's explained why. Because historically, they had a special thing in this morning.
That's the way he's probably going to read the Ran. That's probably the way he reads the Ran. He reads the Ran like you. That the way he's supposed to read it is like this. The real Yeshua happened on Yudalit. For a small group, it happened on Tezvav. I don't know. When I read the Ran, I got a different feeling. I got the feeling was is the reason why it is this way is because that's the way it happened. And that's... Yeah. I guess the reason why he doesn't like my version of the Ran is because Sachazal still had the right to decide how they wanted to do it. They still could have made it. We all keep the same day. The terrorists, they felt that because... That's right. And they didn't want to make it a two-day Yom Tov.
So then, according to you, why is Tezvav allowed to do it on Yudalit?
Right. Echrami, this Ran wouldn't work with that Yushalmi, right? This Ran doesn't sound like that Yushalmi. That's his whole point. His point is this Ran and this Meiri is a right to this Yushalmi. I'm not so sure. Okay, there's more to get to, but we'll have to get to it at a different time. Wish everyone a Freilich and Purim. Mitzvah, we'll be back in next.